This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend to you a warm-hearted welcome from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Stephen Kramer will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's service will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every week on this station.
During our worship services, we enthusiastically sing that we love to do this. But do we really? I'm talking about telling the story of Jesus and His love. Many of us struggle with telling that story outside the church building for a variety of reasons. I invite you now to listen in and hear some encouraging words from Jesus in today's text. Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open and all desires known, we come before you today with thanksgiving for the gift of life and faith. Only in you, O God, is there meaning for our lives. Speak to our hearts as we wait before you, and let your Holy Spirit renew us in our inward parts, that we may serve you acceptably in our time and in our way. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading for today is from Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil, and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold. And Jesus said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." The disciples asked him a little while later what this meant. We pick up on verse 14. Jesus explains the parable. The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure only for a while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are thorns. These are the ones who hear the word. But the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Here ends our reading. Dear friends, many of us have a list of our favorite hymns. The one that we just heard has always been a favorite of mine since I was a child. I love to tell the story. I know that there are many that love to hear that old hymn as well. At our church, we really raise the roof on that one. But I wonder, as we sing it so enthusiastically in our services at times, do we really mean it? I mean, do you really love to tell the story of Jesus and his love? I don't mean in a church service or in a Bible study, but outside the church building in a different context. Do you love to tell the story to your neighbor, to your unchurched friends, your family, your co-workers, or your fellow students? I suppose if we're really honest about it, there are times that many of us would say, no, I guess I really don't love to tell the story about Jesus in public. It makes me a little uncomfortable at times. I recently read a book entitled The Embarrassed Believer, and the author writes the following as to reasons why we sometimes keep ourselves quiet. Many Christians today, Hugh Hewitt writes, can hardly make themselves say the J word, Jesus, pray in a restaurant, or invite a colleague to church. They cringe at anything that makes their commitment visible in this current secular environment. Every Sunday, in the safety of the sanctuary, millions of worshipers pray and sing with sincerity and gusto, then vanish and go silent for the next 6 days. The reason? America has become increasingly hostile to Christianity. The media elite mocks it. Some vocal scientists disdain it. Universities debunk it. And business typically ignores it. Public expression of faith is not only unfashionable, it's seen as slightly bizarre. And so no one likes to think that people are looking at us and thinking that we're bizarre. So we are discouraged and intimidated into thinking, well, maybe our critics are right. Why should we bother? It won't make any difference anyway. Others of us are afraid of sounding foolish. We remember Paul saying to the Corinthians, the gospel sounds like foolishness to some people, and none of us likes to, in our pride, sound foolish. And so, again, we find ourselves keeping it to ourselves and not saying a word for Christ. Finally, some of us have tried this and maybe feel like we failed. The person wasn't converted. Or maybe you even met negative results. And we walk away from that experience feeling a little more gun-shy about opening our mouths on behalf of Jesus the next time around. And there are probably a whole host of other reasons as well as to why we don't love to tell that story at times. Well, for those of us who may be feeling a little discouraged or a little fearful about telling the story, Jesus has a good word for us today. He tells a parable. And for us to better understand it, we need to understand the context in which this parable was told. Remember in chapter 1 in Mark's gospel, Mark records that Jesus had called the disciples and he said to them, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of people." And then in chapter 3, it says that he chose the 12 and said he wanted them to be with him, and he was getting them ready to go and tell the good news of the kingdom of God, which really was about himself. But then the rest of chapter 3 is Jesus running into rejection and conflict and ridicule and confusion as people hear his claims. And some want to destroy him, and others accuse him of being possessed by the devil. And even his own family thinks he's a little out of his mind, and they come to fetch him home. And in the background, there's those disciples. They're observing all this, witnessing this rejection as Jesus brings good news into the world. The results are not so great. They're not exactly feeling inspired at this point, I imagine. This evangelistic enterprise is not exactly off to a good start. And they were probably wondering, is this really worth the effort? And is this what we're going to run into? And what are we getting into? It's at this point Jesus told that story about the farmer who sowed the seed. Some of it fell on a path, and that the birds came and swallowed it up. Other seed fell upon rocky ground, and it sprouted quickly. But then when the sun came out, it was scorched and withered away because the roots were so shallow. Some of it fell among thorns, and the weeds grew up and the thorns choked it out. And others fell on good soil, and it bore fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. And Jesus stopped at this point and said, "Now, he who has ears to hear, listen." Do you suppose he was talking about the disciples at that point? Listen. A little while later, they asked him, "We didn't get it. Would you explain it to us?" He said, "The seed is the word of God, the good news about the kingdom of God, which has come through myself. And the soils, the path, that's the people that are so hard. And when the seed gets sown upon them, when they hear it, Satan comes down and just swoops out and eats up that seed of the gospel. The other soil, the thorny ground, that's the people that hear the word, but the cares of the world just choke it out, and it never really grows. And those that hear the word and receive it joyfully, that's the rocky ground. But they're rather shallow, and when hard times hit, they fall away. But then there's that good soil. That's the folks that they hear it and accept it and believe it, and they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Jesus is using a storytelling method here, the rule of end stress. The most important part of this story is the end. Keep your eye on the ending, Jesus is trying to get them to do. The good soil, those that will receive it, and the great harvest that is waiting as we tell the story of Jesus and his love. He says, you know, there's all kinds of soils out there. You're going to run into all kinds of hearers to that gospel, negative and also positive. You might wonder to yourself, I wonder how this story was, why it was kept around all those years before Mark wrote it down. Because it was a word of encouragement for those early Christians like Timothy who were discouraged and wondering whether they should just give up telling the story. Jesus is saying to them and to us, keep throwing the seed. Keep telling that story. Because there's a great harvest that's always a possibility as that good soil receives that good seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm encouraged by it in my own ministry as I preach each week to my congregation. There's all kinds of hearers out there. Some of them not ready, others very ready to receive the good news. I learned four principles from this story that I keep with myself that I'll share with you this morning. Number one, that Jesus is counting on us to sow that seed. It's a privilege. We are surrounded by people who need Jesus just as much as we need Jesus, and they're ready to receive it. Number two, no one bats 1,000. Why is it that in the game of baseball that when a batter can hit 300, hit the ball 3 times out of 10, we consider that a great season? Why would we not expect the same thing as we're sowing the seed, is what Jesus is telling us today. No one bats 1,000 when they're telling the story of Jesus Christ. Don't be surprised if you have some negative results. Number three, the growth is not up to us. We do the sowing and God does the growing. As Paul said to those Corinthians, I planted the seed, Apollos watered. God brought about the growth. Four, the seed is good and it's powerful, powerful enough to change a life and produce a great harvest in the lives of others around it. Listen to Paul on this one. I am not ashamed of the gospel, he writes, for it's the power of God for salvation for those who believe. Paul is speaking from experience, isn't he? He heard that story from Ananias in the 9th chapter of Acts, and it changed his life. And as he went about and shared the story with others, thousands upon thousands also received it, and churches sprung up everywhere around Asia Minor. What we learn in this story today is an encouraging word from Jesus. Don't quit. Don't be silenced. You speak up and keep on talking, telling the story of Jesus and of his love, because you see, that seed is good stuff. And there's lots of good soil waiting for someone like you to share it. And they're ready to receive it. And great will be the harvest. I have a wonderful story. It's a true story about a little girl named Monica, a 10-year-old, down in Bogota, Colombia, who belonged to a little Christian church in that city. They decided to do evangelism training and get that seed out into their community, the good news of Jesus. They chose the tool Evangelism Explosion International by Dr. James Kennedy for their training. And they decided as an experiment to let the children attend this training as well. The children learned the gospel outline right alongside moms and dads. Monica was very taken with this, and she learned it well. And when she would ride the bus into town to attend the training with her mom and dad, it was about a two-hour bus ride both ways, and she would sing those little choruses from Scripture that were taught to the children as they were learning the gospel outline. And one day, a woman asked her, where did you get those lyrics from? And she said, the Bible. And then she recited some more words from the Bible to this woman. And other passengers listened in. She became quite a diversion on that bus on a daily basis. They'd ask her to sing. One day, she got up the courage to ask a woman sitting next to her, if you were to die today, are you to that place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that you'd go to heaven? And if God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you tell him? And the woman said, well, I say my rosary, and I try to make good decisions, and I try to live right. And she concluded that she would tell God that she hoped she qualified because her good deeds outweighed her bad. Monica politely told her that what Monica had learned was the only proper answer to God's question. She told the woman that the Bible taught that God was perfect and required perfection for someone to be in his presence. No one could be perfect, the woman said, and Monica was prepared. She said, well, there's good news about that in the Bible, too. Jesus was perfect, died for our sins, and paid for our salvation. If we believe that and trust that, God will look at us through Jesus, and we will be considered perfect in God's sight. So, Monica went on to say, the only answer to the question is that nothing we have done or can do will get us into heaven. The only way we can get in is to tell God that Jesus paid our way. At first, the woman seemed merely bemused, as did the other passengers. Such interesting ideas from such a youngster. But each day, Monica sang and recited and asked and answered, and more passengers leaned close to listen to her. And finally, someone said he believed and wanted to pray and trust Christ alone for his salvation. A few days later, another did the same, and finally the day came when even the bus driver listened to Monica. He pulled to the side of the road, and when she was finished, he and all 10 of the other passengers prayed to receive Jesus Christ. Though Monica lives in a depressed and dangerous area where few outsiders dare venture, she invited the new converts to her home, and there her parents led them in a weekly Bible study. Within a month, 30 new believers were in that group. Monica's pastor visited and heard their stories and assigned an assistant to come and work with the group. Within a year, the meeting had grown to 150 people and became a daughter church to Monica's home congregation. It eventually grew more, and today it has grown to 350 people. The seed that that little 10-year-old sowed on the bus that day and continued to sow fell on that good soil, didn't it? And it yielded 30, 60, and 100-fold. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, he who has ears to hear, listen. That seed is good and powerful. And as you tell that story, remember that there are people that are just ready to hear it. And great will be the harvest. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's our good news. Amen. Let's pray the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choosing and all others who have need to listen. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Today's service is also available to be heard or read on the internet. Our website also has many other spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. A gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Stephen Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders, celebrating 70 years of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.